I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Time now to check out what's been shaking this week in Wisconsin when it comes to news. Noah Ovshinsky's with us now from our newsroom. Noah, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be here. Good afternoon.
Well, you know, not the hottest news week, really, but there's still a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, it's like a river. Sometimes it flows, sometimes it doesn't.
Stagnates, and there
stagnates,
are mosquitoes,
and there are floods,
in the bywaters,
and then there are droughts, and I would say today or this week was a relatively slow news week.
But there's not nothing to talk about.
No. Yeah,
The big news from the governor and his allies in the legislature, a jobs legislation package. We talked about that a little bit this week. What's going on?
Yeah. So Governor Walker as you mentioned, the allies in the legislature unveiled a package of jobs related bills totaling somewhere in the area of $8.5 million. In addition, legislative leaders also noted this week that really worker training is going to be one of their top priorities going into this fall.
I want to break down a little bit of what the bill would do. But first, big picture. You know, we've got an election just over a year, by my account.
Yes.
Are we going to hear a lot about jobs?
I think we're going to hear a lot about jobs. I think we'll hear really a heavy emphasis on jobs over the next year or so. You know, a PolitiFact Wisconsin analysis found that the state added just under 90,000 jobs since Governor Walker took office. And if you recall, in the beginning of his term, he pledged to help create 250,000 jobs by the end of his first term. So he's a little over a third of the way there. So quite a bit of ground to make up. So I think between now and election time, we're going to hear a lot about jobs.
And this legislation, presumably an effort to give a shot in the arm for that 250,000 job target.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what this is. And every month we talk about jobs numbers, and depending on who's talking about the job numbers, they're good, they're bad, they're not good enough. It all depends on where you're coming from. And I think this legislation is something solid that certainly the governor can point to and saying, you know, we're doing something. We're actively trying to improve the jobs situation here in the state.
And there's been a lot of wrangling over which measures, which job numbers you use, which Federal Reserve Office. I don't want to delve too deep into that, but it's dueling jobs numbers. And we're going to see, I'm guessing, more and more of that between now and Election Day.
Absolutely. Every month you'll hear Democrats, you'll hear Republicans, you'll hear interest groups, you'll hear others, you know, spinning the jobs that put their position in the best light. So it'll be interesting to see. I have a feeling that this legislation or these series of bills will probably go through the legislature relatively quickly, is my guess. You know, jobs related bills generally do, even in this sort of hyper partisan era that we're in.
Well, it's one party control of the legislature. As long as there's dissension in Republican ranks, it seems like it'd be pretty smooth sailing.
Yeah, I think it'll sail through. It is worth mentioning State Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Peter Barca, you know, called the jobs plan, far too little too late. So Democrats, including Peter Barca, would have liked the governor to do something, well, as he said, a little bit more, a little bit earlier than the governor's done it.
Well, let's look at what's in this legislation. What are some of the features?
Yeah, so it calls for a series of things totaling around $8.5 million or so. For one, it pays for up to 25% of the cost of tuition for an apprenticeship program here in the state. I think that's up to $1,000 per student. So there's some financial assistance there for students. It provides $4 million in state money for programs that help the disabled obtain job training. So it's $4 million. That's quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And I believe also one of the bills gives incentive payments to school districts themselves, I think of up to $1,000 per student also, if they develop programs that encourage students to get degrees or certificates in industries where there are quite a few openings.
So do you have a sense of the timeline on this legislation? As you said, it might be smooth sailing as long as there's not too much dissension in Republican ranks.
I think it'll go. I can't give you a specific date, but I think it's going to move relatively quickly, I think.
Okay. Well, a next step in the ongoing saga of windmills in Wisconsin. There's been some effort to develop wind power in the state, some pushback from some state legislatures and state legislators in the Republican Party and some local groups as well. What's the latest news on wind power?
Yeah, and actually, this is kind of a significant piece of news because this is the first wind project that the Public Service Commission, the PSC, has approved in quite a while. I mean, it's been at least a few years since they've approved a project like this. And the project that they did approve this week in St. Croix County, it's going to have roughly 41 turbines, something on the order of that. And what's interesting about this project is the commission had previously rejected the proposal because of concerns related to noise that these wind turbines create.
So now they're okay with the noise level. What led to the change of heart?
Right. So the PSC, voting 2-1, said that this project now meets the state noise standard. It's also notable that the PSC is also requiring the developer of this project, Emerging Energies, to double the number of sound monitors that would actually measure whether or not this project complies with that state noise standard. And then it also increases the frequency of testing. So basically they're saying, you know, we trust you to move forward, but we also want to keep a close eye on this noise issue because of the amount of concern there is with some members of the public.
Trust but verify. I think
exactly.
I'm quoting Ronald Reagan there.
Well done. Well played.
Well, there's the reason these things are so controversial. Not everyone wants them in their neighborhood. First of all, where are these located and what's been the local opposition to this particular project?
Right. So this specific project by Emerging Energies will be built in the towns of Forest and Cylon. Of course, I had to double check because, mm-hmm. you know, you and I are both
Battlestar Galactica
fans. So I was shocked to hear, actually, that there was a town in Wisconsin. Shocked and also pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. It will be both in Forest and Cylon, and they're about an hour northwest of Eau Claire.
And then the local response. We've seen this in other cases around the state, local groups forming to protest wind power plants, the impact of those plants.
Right. So one of the main groups against this project is called Forest Voice. If you go back to previous reporting with this project, you almost inevitably hear a member of Forest Voice probably being quoted. So they're one of the biggest opponents. They've not said whether or not they're going to appeal the decision, but their main issue, again, with this project and other projects related to wind, are that they are in fact harmful to human health. And actually also they hurt property values because of the sound that this development it actually makes.
And the PSC isn't worried, or they say, we're not worried about the health impact right now. We don't have science on that.
Yeah, not at this point with this particular project. But of course, you know, as I mentioned, they're going to be, closely watching this project to make sure that they don't exceed that state noise standard.
All right, and then one more story this week. Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers delivered his State of Education speech at the Capitol. That was yesterday, right?
It was yesterday, yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, he covered several topics, some of which are very controversial here in the state. One of the major topics he talked about was the Common Core standards, which the state sort of committed to a few years ago. He called them, and this is a direct quote, he called them world class.
So what are these Common Core standards? We've heard about them, talked about them a little on the show, but what's going on with those?
Right. So the standards were developed by governors and school administrators a few years ago. And at last count, I think roughly 45 states in the District of Columbia have adopted Common Core standards. And that's exactly what they are. They're standards that students are expected to meet. Of course, it's not really the ceiling, but it's really the bottom, the bare minimum that students are expected to learn in specific grade levels.
These are not without controversy.
No, no.
Nothing is in education.
Yeah, right. There isn't a lot that's not controversial. These are, in fact, very controversial and increasingly so, actually, as the months go by. There is growing pressure from the Tea Party and others who want Wisconsin to dump the standards. Tea Party groups and some Republicans, want Wisconsin to create its own unique standards.
They see it as a federal mandate.
Exactly.
That they don't want.
Yeah, they think these kinds of standards should be something that is established at the state level, not at the national level. And yesterday, Wisconsin Republican legislative leaders announced that they've actually formed a committee to review the Common Core standards that the state has adopted.
Well, if we got some money as an incentive to do this, I'm guessing maybe there's a risk of losing some of that money if we drop it. Is that clear yet?
That's unclear. But what would be interesting to see is if Wisconsin were to happen to drop the Common Core standards, how that would affect how we are evaluated compared to these other states, because, you know, there'd be sort of a common measurement. And in this case, I think it would be tough to do if we were to drop those standards.
And then what else was on the DPI director's mind?
Yeah, he also talked about voucher accountability. And he said private schools that accept voucher students, which was an initiative basically just passed by the legislature. He said the private schools that accept voucher students should offer, quote, what he said, quote, no more excuses for not being part of the same accountability system as traditional public schools. Basically, what Evers is saying here is that the schools that receive tax money for taking in students, that they need to be graded, and those grades need to be public, and they need to be graded in the same way that traditional public schools are.
Is he getting any friendly reception in the legislature from that in our last 30 seconds or so?
Well, Senator Luther Olson and Assemblyman Steve Castell are working on some school accountability legislation right now. There are negotiations going on behind the scenes, but as of right now, really, it's unclear what the bill will look like in its final form.
All right. This is probably an issue we'll be covering for a few years at least.
This is not the end.
All right. Noah, as always, thanks a lot.
It was good to be here.
That was Noah Ovshinsky, Assistant News Director here at Wisconsin Public Radio.